Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this week and the fact that we get to be able to connect with you. We're thankful that we get to unplug here and just be surrounded by people who love you. We know that you probably want to speak to us this week. We pray that we could just quiet ourselves to the point where we could hear what you're trying to tell us. We want to hear from you here this afternoon and for the rest of the week. We pray that you'd speak to us powerfully. Jesus' name. I've been a follower of Christ since November of 2004. This week has been the hardest week of my entire Christian life. I'm going to spare you all of the gory details here because I don't think it would be uplifting. But my week started, it was a Monday at home church. My son started to get an asthma attack. He's 3. He's really cute. He was just wheezing like Darth Vader, you know, and I had to leave home church. I scooped him up, put him in the car. We went to Nationwide Children's Hospital, and I was there with him for 6 hours. They were doing these breathing treatments, and he wasn't having it. He was cranky. He was scared, you know. He's respirator, and anyways, I had to hold him down. It was it was painful as a father to be able to have to do that. In the midst of that, I got a text message from a close friend, and it was 2 in the morning, and she wrote me a message which said, "Are you still in the hospital because there's an emergency?" To which I started to think, well, she knows I'm already in the hospital with an emergency, so what could it possibly be? I was crushed, and over the next 72 hours, I was working 16 days a week, or 16 hours, that would be really a lot of time. Not that hardcore, but I was working 16-hour days. I had anywhere from 80 to 100 phone calls, counseling sessions, still teaching, and so forth. And one of my buddies at the time was like, "So how are you doing?" And I was tongue-in-cheek, joking. I said, "Well, I'm functioning at a really high threshold, and I'm going to be depressed a month from now and not know why, because that's normally how I process things. But in this particular situation, I would leave these counseling sessions just totally wrecked. And I would have these crying spells. I'm not a real weepy person, but I would just go alone in my room. And I would just weep, just seeing the effect, seeing the hurting people. I've been developing these ulcers on my voice for over the last couple years, I suspect, but we've been treating it for the last couple months, and these granulomas. And I finally got kicked out to an expert who told me the diagnosis isn't good, and it isn't fatal or anything, but it's going to be probably like an ongoing treatment for my vocal cords. So my family, my friends, and my health were all threatened this week. You know, like these days, I don't like have nightmares about like monsters and characters from the movie Twilight or serial killers. That's not the kind of stuff that I have nightmares over. I have nightmares over this kind of stuff. I wouldn't be able to speak. I wouldn't be able to serve, to see people lose it, especially your friends, your family hurting. And so I guess I share all this because I'm reticent to share it because I hope I don't offend people in this room who have suffered more acutely than me, and I guess that's not my point. But I just wanted to share from the heart about my experience and some of the things that God showed to me, and while it's still pretty fresh. So would that be okay? Well, it's 2 things. First, I've never experienced God's presence and power more clearly. Been following Christ for 13 years, and I honestly can say since last Tuesday, I haven't ever just had that palpable sense that you feel like you're levitating 6 inches off the floor. You just feel like the Lord is right there And it's so powerful. I can't put it into words. It's ineffable to describe what it's like to have power in the presence of God. It reminds me of a bumper sticker that I'm sure many of you have seen where Christian people will say, you know, God never gives us more than we can handle, which is false. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Yet there's something true to that. The Bible does teach that God never gives us more than he can handle. I got to experience that this week, and a passage that came to mind was 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us his ministry. But Paul doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, our great power is from God, not ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned. We get knocked over, but we are not destroyed. And so I got to experience that this week. It was the sensation that, yeah, it's perplexing and it's confusing, and yet it isn't despair. It didn't cross over into that threshold. It was, I feel pressed, I feel pressured, and yet I'm not crushed. I'm still here, I'm still functioning, I'm still serving. You know, it's like you're at the gym and you're underneath the bench press and you're doing more weight than you can, and you're doing too many reps than is, you know, humanly responsible, and you get up into 6, 7, 8, and then you get to 9 or 10. And I don't know if you've ever been there where the weight, you just feel like, oh my God, this is gonna collapse right on my chest. I'm gonna lose it here. And yet your spotter is right behind you and he just reaches in, and it's not like he picks the bar up, he just gives like 5 pounds. Maybe 10 pounds of pressure and lifts the bar back up, and you get it back up onto the rack and you jump for joy and say, I did it, you know? Wow, I'm really strong. And it's like, no, you didn't really, who really did do it? I don't know. I've had people ask me that, how are you doing? I don't really know how to answer that question. It felt like when you're in the middle of acute suffering, it's like, it's really difficult. And at the same time, you feel that power and presence of the Lord, not oscillating back and forth, but they're there at the same time. Second, I've never experienced the comfort of God's sovereignty more clearly. I was reminded about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I've been reading this book by Old Halsby on prayer. And Halsby has this suggestion, which is to get these periods of what he calls quietude. You know, you can petition and you can pray and you can share your heart. And then there's these other times where Halsby says you just got to sit still and you don't talk. I had these two experiences, and I want to qualify here. I didn't hear an audible voice, nothing like that. I didn't see something, an apparition. But the thoughts that had popped into my head were so distinct, and they were so foreign to what I was used to and the way I would think, such novel thoughts that I really believe that God spoke to me. The first event here, I was just sitting there by myself up at the office. I had the door closed, and I was in one of these states of quiet. And I was sitting there before the Lord, and I got this distinct question that he was asking me. You know, the Lord always asks the best questions. And he asked this question, which I had never thought of. And the question was, what is one question that you'd like to ask me? For better or for worse, my gifts and wheelhouse in the body of Christ has been largely to answer people's questions. I've dedicated my adult life to doing that. And so when I felt that God was asking me that question, I was dumbfounded. And so I started to think of the problem of evil, or the Canaanites, or the why had all these people heard, and all this different stuff, and it was all these academic kind of things, and I kind of paused, and I thought to myself, you know, it's not that I don't have doubts and questions myself, but it's kind of like if you get like a genie lamp, and you don't ask your first two wishes on a burrito, you know? And it's like if there was one question, those wouldn't even be in the top 100, so what would the question be? And so I sat there in silence until I asked the Lord. I said, what is it that you think I should ask you? I hope that doesn't count as my question. But I sat there in silence a little bit longer, and I felt the Lord prompting me. He prompted me to ask, how much do I love you? So I asked him that. Later that week, sitting with my wife at date night, I'd totally forgotten about this interaction of quietude. It was really pleasant. I didn't, at the end of it, I didn't get some kind of miraculous something, a warm feeling or anything like that. And I was sitting with my wife, and we're out at date night that week, and she says, hey, what is one question you would ask God? Honest to God, I'm not making this up. I didn't remember that I had that time with the Lord 2 days before. I said, what would you ask? And she said, I'd ask, how much does he love me? So it felt like one of those times in the correlated leading where you get the sense that God's trying to speak to you. I took it to lunch with my the other seer leaders, and I told them the story. I said, I don't know what that means. And my one buddy, Dennis, said, maybe it's telling you that you should listen to your wife more. Which is always a safe bet. The second thing that happened, I was in a time of quietude. This was 2 weeks ago. And I was sitting with the Lord, and again, it was really quiet. I was really still. I was able to quiet myself. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me a second time. Again, this wasn't an audible voice, but it's something I've never heard of before, never thought about. And I sensed that the Lord was asking me, do you trust me with the rest of your life? If I asked you to give more, would you be willing to give it? And I said, no. I said, I don't trust you. I didn't know what he was asking. We're going through all this this change in our church, and I thought maybe he was asking me to step up more, maybe play a bigger role. I was scared. I just felt like I don't have much more to give. And it was one of those times where I felt like God was putting the mirror up to my face and revealing something. And I paused there for a little bit, and I felt like God was saying to me, James, you are evil. You are selfish. You are so selfish. Why, of all the people in the world to run your life, why would you ever choose you? I left that time. I never said yes. I was speechless. I shared it with a couple friends. I didn't know what he was asking. I didn't know what he wanted. I was embarrassed. That's the first time in my Christian life where I verbally said no to God. I know I've acted that way. I believed no, but it's like he was saying, will you trust me? And I said no. What I didn't realize is that the whole time he was preparing me for this week. And he knew this was coming, and he wasn't trying to pin me. It's just he wanted us to be on the same page, and he wanted... The whole time I felt like he was trying to get something out of me and take more, and it turns out he was trying to give and trying to protect and comfort. It reminds me of the psalm that I just wanted to close on here. It's Psalm 25. O Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, oh my God. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. The Lord is good, and he does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path that they should choose. My eyes are always on the Lord. If for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. He turned to me and had mercy, for I alone am in deep distress. My problems go from bad to worse. Save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive all my sins. I just experienced the worst week of my life, and yet I'm still standing. My nightmare was realized, and I'm still here. And I can honestly say I'm really eager to serve the Lord even more. This has caused me to want to give over even more. You know, I'm sure happy I made that time to connect with God a couple weeks ago. At the time, I didn't think it was that big of a deal to get my time with him, and yet he showed up there. And finally, I just wanted to thank everybody for their overwhelming love and prayers and support. And it's so cool that when you're going through pain, you don't have to do it alone. You get to do it with people who love God. So I'm just really grateful for you all. Thanks.